In this era of high-stakes testing in our public schools, the big emphasis has been on basic skills: math, science, literacy. Many experts believe the arts can help students learn everything from arithmetic to complicated scientific ideas. So, Seattle Public Schools, the Seattle Foundation, and the City of Seattle have formed a partnership called Creative Advantage to provide arts education for every child in the school district, starting in kindergarten. Lara Davis is the Arts Education Manager for Seattle's Office of Arts and Culture, and she told Marcy Silman the arts are a guaranteed part of basic education here in Washington State.
When we talk about arts education, we're talking about not only giving young people access to music and visual arts and theater and dance and all of those things, but we're also talking about learning in and through the arts. So that's the opportunity to learn how to think critically and creatively, to imagine, to innovate, to persist. So those are the kinds of things that are critically taught through the arts. And make arts, I think, a necessary part of education.
So I'm wondering if you can explain a little bit more how the arts are incorporated into the basic subject matter, like math, like reading, like social studies, like the classes that you don't traditionally think of as art.
I would say that creativity can and should show up in every learning experience, so across every subject matter, because that's what connects and engages students and makes learning real and relevant beyond just memorizing of particular content. You might see the use of poetry showing up in a history or a literature class. You might see visual art being connected with the sciences in order to deepen learning. You might focus on a concept like symmetry and how we're using dance and movement and mathematics in order to understand the concept of symmetry. So these things, finding a way to bring them together in order to deepen the learning for young people.
We live, for better or for worse, in the age of metrics and data and testing. And how do you show to doubters this is a method that is going to enhance the education, the end result of your kids 12, 13 years in the public schools?
Yeah. Well, I think it's really important that we're able to tell the story of the impact of arts learning on students. And we have an incredible evaluator, the Burke Group, that is helping us do just that. We just released our first findings from our first year of implementation with the Creative Advantage. There's a lot of different things that are going into this evaluation, but we're looking at the ways in which teachers are, the way that they are teaching creatively. We're looking at these different habits, how that shows up in their practice, in the curriculum, in the teaching. And we're also looking at how students are demonstrating these habits. So what is the impact of arts learning on teacher practice? What is the impact of arts learning on the way that students show up in the classroom and how they engage?
What do those evaluations tell you?
The evaluation that we have right now is our baseline evaluation of the first year of implementation. And we are seeing things like 1,700 students who didn't have access to music before in the Central Arts Pathway, which is schools in the Central District, now do. And that's a really big deal because that helps to create access for those students in middle school and high school to continue that learning. And we're also hearing from the community and from those who are involved in this work that arts education is really within this conversation of race and social justice, helping to make sure that young people across the board have learning, high-quality learning in the arts, and are able to show up fully in who they are and show up with their voice and have their communities and their experiences honored. So those are some really incredible things that we're just seeing in the baseline evaluation. And as we bring opportunities in for schools and young people and teachers to have access, who within those schools do we need to be prioritizing because they've had the least access, and maybe arts can even be seen as an intervention to help support their learning. So that is critical. And all young people, as my friend Tina Labadula says, deserve to sing and dance and deserve access to the kind of learning that is really going to expand their minds and their possibilities and make them amazing creative problem solvers. So
what drives you to devote the energy that you do to arts education?
Music and creativity and even athletics, because I was an athlete as a young person, have always been a go-to for me as a place where I find and access my voice and I can speak my truth. And so I feel powerful. And I have multiple ways of engaging and problem solving when I use my creativity. And I've always worked with young people. When I was in college, when I was 17, I started working with young people and have gone down this path of social services and education and then into arts education because I was able to weld my passion of young people and the arts together. And I think that young people are powerful. We need to trust them more and really listen to them.
So lastly, say that I put you in front of a panel of state lawmakers who were skeptical at best, hostile at worst to the idea of funding for arts and arts education for young people. Give me your best argument to sway them.
Wow. I would say that creativity, innovation, the imagination, critical thinking, problem solving are at the core of what we need in our society to both support the next generation, but also to address the challenges locally, statewide, and nationally. We have young people in our school communities locally, like students in Garfield High School's Black Student Union, who are at the vanguard of leadership, pushing for a more creative education, one that values their voices, one that allows them to show up authentically so that they can be engaged and they can use all of their skills and their creativity to build a better city. And so I think investing in the arts is investing in young people. It's investing in our community. It's investing in our city and our creative economy and our future. And so you can't go wrong with that.
Lara Davis, Arts Education Manager for Seattle's Office of Arts and Culture. The Creative Advantage Arts Plan should be in every school in Seattle by the year 2020. Tomorrow, the national organization Americans for the Arts is going to honor Davis for her work in arts education.